Welcome to episode 206 and my part two conversation with Professor A.D. Simmons on her book, Who is the Radical Islamist and Why? And in this episode, we're going to talk about exactly that. Who are they? Are they a threat to America? Are they a threat to the world? So please join me in this conversation with Professor A.D. Simmons.
So with continuing on with the cells and about the brotherhood, I mean, we've got the Hamas, the ISIS, Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and
down in Yemen. I mean, they're all connected and they all support each other.
Yeah. What is that common goal? Why are they supporting each other?
Because the common goal is to destroy the world and to make it all Islamic. So whatever one can do to help the other one, that's going to help them also, because it's going to make it easier for them in their area. But it's a strong brotherhood, I will tell you. It's very, very strong. And it's on our college campuses with the formation of the Muslim Student Association. It's on 150 of our college campuses.
Wow.
And they meet regularly. They hold conferences. They hold conventions. In 2000 and either 2000 or 2001, and you'll have to correct me, I'd have to look this up, but they held a convention at University of California, LA. And during that convention, they told the people that, you know, it was their obligation to destroy America, to infiltrate and destroy America in any way that they could. Now, this is on our college campuses. And you have to realize the biggest problem we have, which I have not understood why our government hasn't taken control of this, because Islam is a religion, the FBI and none of them, police cannot do anything at these conventions because they're called religious rallies. Just like they can't go into religious schools and change the curriculum and all because they're religious schools, even though their schools may be teaching, you know, you kill Americans and so forth. There's nothing we can do because it's religion. And Islam is not a religion. It is also a political force. I mean, their religion is their life, their government, their laws. It's everything. Not like Christianity, where we have our Christian faith. And yes, we have the Ten Commandments and all, but that's not the laws that rule our nation and rule us as citizens of that nation. That's the difference between Islam and Christianity and so forth.
So what can we do as individuals, as a nation here, to prevent some of this stuff, especially happening on campuses? Because like you're saying earlier, there are a lot of sympathizers. Sympathizers meaning they feel for... and I think maybe they get everything, students or sympathizers here in the States, get things crossed or mixed up. It's like, oh, we're going to do humanitarian efforts and help them, where, you know, we bring them in, but we don't know who we're bringing in. So, and especially, like you said, on campuses, that blows my mind that they are able to do that on campus. And basically recruiting to fight Americans or fight the world.
I think that's because, as many of the Arabs told me when I was living and working within their countries and studying, that Americans are naive and gullible, and they think everybody thinks and lives like them. And they don't. I mean, we would like everybody to be nice guys, and we think if we're nice to you, you're going to be nice to me. But that's not the ideology that the radical Islamists think by. They could care what you think of them. It makes no difference. This is what I have to do. This is what Allah set down. And I can be your friend today and kill you tomorrow, and it's okay. Allah will forgive me. So it's a whole different mindset. And I think it all starts with, I don't know how to put this, but I know a number of college professors that are out in the left field trying to understand what's really going on. They're not teaching the children, I got in trouble for that because I called them adults, and the dean of my division said they're still children. So I corrected myself on that. But I figured, look, if you've graduated from high school and you've hit college, this is your adulthood starting, guys. Let's shape up. Yes. But that's not quite how a lot of people feel like it. But these students idolize a lot of their professors. And they believe their professors know everything and are telling them everything. And I think they need to learn critical thinking. That was very strong in my classes. And I know the students hated it. But unless you can learn to think from yourself and take things and put it into your mind and put it into something that's other than what somebody else says you have to think, then you haven't reached that age where you can literally know what's going on in the world. For example, when they interviewed a lot of these students who were out on these rallies marching, some of them didn't even know why they were marching. They just joined a group.
Yeah.
I mean, hello, how stupid is that? Where's the mindset? Wow. When you're marching with a group that the police are watching you and after you, I mean, I would be very careful. But I can tell you, when I was on campus, when we had the Vietnam War, and you know how we had the campus rallies and against the war and everything else, I can tell you honestly from the campus I was on, they were not something that were started by the students. There were large four-wheel trucks pulled up with all sorts of banners and things on them. They had a rock band, and they offered the kids free beer. Well, you tell me a college kid that has a rock band and free beer is not going to join whatever you're doing. Do you know what I mean? And yet they showed them doing all these rallies against the Vietnam War. And I saw that often, even in my teaching as a professor and all. So it's a mindset that the it's like a propaganda thing that they've been able to get into American minds, but Americans have not been able to get into their minds.
Well, you said it. We need to have people here in the States, students, learn critical thinking. Really? And I see it getting worse. I don't know if it's going to get worse, you know, as we go down the line, or is it going to stop and change here? I liken it to the mob mentality. Somebody says, and everybody jumps on board, and like you mentioned, they're marching, they're following, but they have no idea. Majority of them do not. So,
well, you know, Winston Churchill said, if you tell a lie enough times, people will believe it.
Yes. Ain't that the truth?
Unless you have the ability, right, unless you have the ability to critical think. But it's also in our economics and everything with our college students. They just cannot put things together yet. And that's a shame, because when you reach that stage in life, I know I asked one of my students who was 21, he was a mess. I said, please tell me you're not voting. I mean, hello. And his mother came to my college and talked to me. She said, I embarrassed him. I said, he probably doesn't even know who's running for president, let alone how to check the little boxes. I really believe that America is very naive. They seem to think that nothing's going to happen to them. And what they have to realize is, as I learned from the party I was at for New Year's, some of the people there are professors also, and they said that some of their students and people who are Pakistanis, Afghanistanis, Iranis, and so forth, they are pro-Hamas because they sympathize with other Muslims. And they said they've really had trouble in some of their classes because their other students, Muslim students, have gone against, you know, the American students who are for Israel, or he said they've gotten into arguments in the classroom. And he said, these are kids that I would have never believed at, you know, who are immigrants from Afghanistan or Pakistan or something. But you're going to find that through all Muslims. They stand up. for each other. And it's too bad in America we do not have that anymore. And I wonder if we've had that since World War II, come to think about it, because we didn't have it with the Vietnam War. I mean, they treated our poor soldiers who came home victims, who were POWs and all, just terrible. I never got over that. That was just horrible. I mean, those poor guys gave their lives and sacrificed so that we on campus and we could get an education and we could live a life here in America that was better than what they were fighting in other countries. And we never appreciated it.
Yeah. Well, it I mean, with Hamas, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, all of them, it seems like it's pushing us in that same direction where, how do I want to put this, that, well, I don't know how to put this other than what we're just really talking about, saying that, you know, not only is it a ground war, a destruction of culture, but it seems like the radical Islamists are also very, very good at mind manipulation. Or, like you were saying, they say that Americans are very naive, very gullible.
Our college campuses have proven that.
Yeah, I'm still trying to wrap my head around, how is it that we got to this point? And what can we do? I mean, we've got so many young people who I would say are sympathizers. They sympathize with everything, everyone, but they don't know why. It's just because one person says, oh, that's not fair. And then they all jump on. Oh, we got to go on the fair wagon. But how do we educate people? I mean, aside from them really reading your book, Who is a Radical Islamist? And I'm just going to put that plug in there. People need to go to Amazon or wherever, and they need to buy the book. You know, it's
also at Barnes & Noble. They can get it from Barnes & Noble if they need to.
This just seems so very important and very, very frightening, too.
Well, it is frightening because there's several organizations. There's 27 or 29 organizations that were started by the Muslim Brotherhood that are part of their project for Civilization Jihad to destroy America, and CARE is one of them, which is very strong in America. And they take care of the training in our State Department, our FBI, our CIA, our colleges and all. And instructors like myself, who do not agree with what they're teaching, we were blackballed and just taken out of. Do you know what I mean? We just couldn't get jobs teaching anymore in those areas because we would not do what they wanted us to do. We were blackballed, and they were the ones our president and our government used to support and to teach our military and all. And so it was quite interesting when I did get to teach at places that I was totally different than a lot of the, you know, they were teaching that, oh, they love us, they want us to come and help them. I worked with a group from Sitcom who was building the air base in Uzbekistan, which is in Central Asia, okay. And they were all excited, the Americans, because we're building this big air base, you know, and planes can come in and go out. And they were talking. I had a class of maybe about 20, all military, Sitcom, Corps of Engineers and all. And we were talking, and I said, you know, guys, you're going to finish this fantastic base that I'm looking at all these plans and all on. And I said, Uzbekistan's going to make you get out of the country, and they'll have you guys that have built a base for them. And they said, oh, no, they would never do that. Well, in 2005, what did Uzbekistan do? They had to get out. And I can remember the general and some of the people said, yes, but that's a strategic place for America to be in with what's going on in the Middle East. I said, well, it is also for them. You have to realize it's not only something that we can use, they can use it. It's perfect for them. They didn't have to pay for it, and they didn't know how to do it. So why not let your enemy do it for you, trying to be a friend?
Yeah.
You know, it's just we do a lot of things, and I sit back and think, You know, what are we thinking about? Have we really? I think the problem right now I see is we're into more causes than into things that might be functionally important for the United States. We don't look at consequences. We just do things. We're not ones that look at consequences. My father always told me, you do not do anything till you've considered the consequences of what you want to do or what you want to say, because, you know, that's the end of it. Once you've done it, you know, you're there. But I really think that's our biggest problem. We have not thought out the consequences of where we are, like not firing back at Iran with 115, 117 firings on our military bases, and we've had some of our soldiers hurt. I mean, what is that saying to the rest of the world?
Can I say the word that...
Even to our allies, what is that saying?
Yeah, that we're
weak. Can they trust us to come to their aid if we're not going to take care of ourselves?
You know,
but Iran's very clever, and they're playing mind games on this. They're very clever, and they do propaganda by deed. I think I mentioned that when we spoke the last time, where they do things that you will remember, and Americans will remember that there were 115, 117 firings on our military bases in Iraq and Syria that we really didn't do anything. I mean, the first two shots, we took out... Well, they were storage places. There were never military around them. Probably they didn't even have anything in them. Who knows? But, I mean, we just never think about it. And in Afghanistan, when we left Afghanistan, look at all the equipment we left the Taliban to use against us.
Yep,
they didn't have to pay
remember.
For anything.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be nasty. I'm just trying to make you think. I'm sorry. I do this to my students all the time.
No, that's perfectly fine because, you know, a couple of things, especially one of the things where you said that we do not look at the consequences. We don't even understand anymore. And I do remember years going back. I'll age myself too, but I do remember what my parents instilled in me and what we were really taught is consequences. Know the consequences before you take that action. Now, right. We don't. And then the other thing, too, like you're saying, is the radical Islamists, the radicals are so good at the mind game that they are actually we are helping them by dividing our own selves from our country.
That's right.
And because especially, like you said, we have the ones that say, well, why didn't we retaliate? Why didn't we do that? And the others that say, oh, we shouldn't do that because of. But nobody's thinking about what are the consequences? What would they be?
Well, they've proven they're not going to stop because we haven't done anything. I mean, how long has it been that they've still been doing this since October the 7th? Yeah. And now they're firing on the ships in the Red Sea coming through. And this war is going to escalate into more than what the world wants it to get into. And I think it's just something that's going to happen because of the consequences of how it all started and how we're all handling it. I mean, if you remember, Iran was really after the United States building their nuclear and so forth until Trump stopped all their money and we killed their head honcho, who was the one who was planning all these things. Then Iran stopped. They didn't have any money. They couldn't do anything. And now, under this administration, we opened up their money, gave them their cash, and we're letting them sell their oil again, and they're millionaires, and they're giving it to Hamas. And Iran's proving to us that we were idiots. I mean, literally, that's exactly what they're doing. They're rubbing our faces with our stupidity. And unfortunately, that's a horrible thing to say. And I've been called a war mongrel before. But I don't think so. It's just that I look at the consequences of where we are and what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to be the future for my grandsons? I mean, I have a grandson that if we went to war would have to go into the war. My son is, 52, so I don't know where he would be. And my other one is only 34, so there's Mike. I mean, think about that. As a mother and a grandmother, I worry about that. And those are things that we're leaving ourselves wide open for. It's called civilization jihad, which I had mentioned before.
Well, and it's that again. It's that consequence, and it is their efforts and their goal to convert, infiltrate, and convert everyone. And like I said, there's either them, or you're either one of them or you're not. That's right. It. There's no gray. There's no nothing. Mm-mm. So.
And it's the world will come to an end if we do not submit to them. They could care less. It'll be one or the other.
Yeah.
Because when the world comes to an end, then they have fulfilled Allah's will that they're supposed to do, rid the world of evil. So it's a different mindset. And unless you understand how your enemy thinks and what makes them do what they do, I don't know how we're ever going to get ourselves out of the messes we're in, because we're just flowing right along with them and helping them out, sort of.
It doesn't sound like we're going to get out of it.
We're really helping Iran.
It does not sound like we're going to get out of it. It
and
doesn't.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean this to turn into a gloom of gloom, but I mean, reality is you have to look at reality here and look at the logic. And look at the consequences. I think that's very, very important.
Well, I think it's very good that we're talking about this, and we're talking like we are now, as opposed to our first session, where we really kind of tried to shed the light of where the radicals were trying to portray every Muslim, everybody as they are, which, you know, we determined that they are not. But we needed to really make sure that people know that there is an immediate threat right now to all of us, Americans and non-Americans. If you're non-Muslim, or if you're not, you know, the radical, you're at threat.
Right, and you have to realize the radical Muslims go after the civilians, the non-military.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they want to hit. They don't want to hit the military, where we're used to fighting one military force against another military force. And if a war is called to an end or a ceasefire, then the other country stops also. Their government stops them. Well, we don't have a government controlling Hamas, except Iran. And Iran isn't going to stop because they're playing the game. But they're just, people just do not realize that the terrorist organizations are non-national. So there's no nation that you can say, okay, you stop it because we'll stop. And they're trying to make Israel stop, not realizing Hamas could care less. And under Islamic law, if they make a deal or a treaty or something with a non-Muslim nation, then they don't have to keep it.
Wow.
Because you're evil. They do not have to. They're not required to keep it. So there's a lot of things we need to understand. And unfortunately, we've gotten ourselves to a point that I am just so afraid we're going to end up in World War III if we're not careful with how we handle things. And how do you stop it? I mean, I'm just one little lone woman over here. I'm like Paul Revere. The British are coming. The radicals are coming. Except I'm not riding a horse.
Well, I think folks like you, it's a start where one will branch out to two, and it'll hopefully exponentially just grow. And I'm getting to the point of education, educating ourselves. Somebody needs to be the educator, the professor. And I'm starting with you and learning from you. So hopefully, you know, others will, I don't want to use the word follow, because that's what we've been talking about, you know, but hopefully people will become critical thinkers. That's number one for me.
We'll try to understand what's going on. But a lot of people, like my neighbors and all, do not want to know anything about the radical Islamists. No, I don't want to even know anything about them. I don't want. But I said, if you do not know what's out there, how can you make, you know, a choice or understand what's going on? Or even vote in elections or know what's going on?
Yeah, you say that, and I know of a handful, more than a handful of people who say they don't watch the news and they refuse to watch news. And yet they talk about stuff like they know what they're talking about. And I say, well, How do you know this if you don't watch the news? Oh, I heard somebody talking about it. Wow, right. There you go. Non-critical thinkers are just regurgitating what they've overheard rather than...
from somebody else instead of really dealing. That is why I went to the Middle East to study Islam and Islamic law. I did not want the opinion, the third opinion down the line of what it is from American professors or so forth. And I know that irritated a lot of people, but I think it was one of the most rewarding things I did because it really made me do critical thinking and it made me put myself in their mind because that's what they do. They can read our minds like a little sieve.
Yeah. Well, Professor Simmons, I just want to ask you the one last question, and it's the same question that I asked at the very beginning. Are we at threat? Is there a threat to us right now?
Well, I cannot speak for our government or our country, but for me personally, I feel we are. And I feel it could come any time, because look at all the immigrants that have come in. And we have no idea who they are, if they're part of terrorists. You know, the M13s were part of the terrorist and have supported the terrorist organizations also. So you have cartels working with the terrorists because it's an opportunity for them to prove their masculinity and that they're strong and they can bring down the strong. And America has always been known throughout the world as the power, the strong ones. Mm-hmm. And right now, I don't feel we have that. And that's a shame, because once we lose that capability, then what's to prevent anybody from saying, okay, this is their weak time, let's go in and take over. And unless you can prove that, you know, these are people who work on the fear basis. And if you have fear in them, that shows them that if they do something, they're going to suffer and big time, like Israel is doing to Hamas, they could care less. They'll just walk all over you and get away with it because they know you're not going to do anything. I mean, Lynn, even in our subways, look at the poor guy who tried to help the lady who is being mugged. Because he got out his gun and shot it in the air, he was the one that went to jail and not the person who did it. Even though they caught him, they said, well, he had a mental problem. Then why is he out on the street? I mean, he's the one that committed the crime. Let's do the criminals inside and the good guys outside.
Yeah. There's so much that we need to correct here at home. So... but I just want to say thank you again very much for this eye-opening conversation that we had, that I'm more listening to you and understanding. But I just want to remind folks again of the book, Who is the Radical Islamist?
And why.
And why, yes.
Yeah. So. And I really define that. I go back to 622. With the Muslims, wow. When it started, it's where I start back to trace it, that what they're following and what they're doing is exactly what they're doing. They're following everything Muhammad did once he did his night journey from Mecca into Medina.
So we've got the full history.
You have the full history, and then you have the modern radicals, where that's coming from with the Muslim Brotherhood and their organizations that they have started. They refer to their organizations as seeds. That right there should tell you something.
Oh, yeah. We say
everybody
we're
going to
plant
it.
The seed.
I mean, why would they call the, you know, the Islamic Muslim Brotherhood student organization a seed? Mm-hmm. You know, why would they call CARE a seed? That, you know, those are little words that they put in there that people sort of ignore. And unfortunately, my little gray cells work overtime. I go to bed and I can't sleep because my little gray cells are... I should be a Pharaoh. Hercule Poirot. He was the one with the little gray cells. He was cute, though, wasn't he?
Where is he now?
Right.
Oh, gosh. I know, folks, we're laughing and stuff like that and having a good time, but that's just know that this is a serious topic, and you know, it's we need to take this seriously. And I'm going to say again, do your part by reading, listening, and you know, understanding what's going on, and don't just.
But the problem is, a lot of our media does not.
Yeah, that's where you're going to have to, as individuals, you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to do your research. And I know sometimes we don't like calling it research, but do your due diligence. So get the information. Don't just listen to one news source.
Right.
So that's all I'm going to say.
Right.
Yeah.
But they have to do an article once a week, and it can't be just from one newspaper. They have to find two different newspapers, and it can't be like from the Boston Chronicle and the New York Times because they're owned by the same people. I said, no, you've got to get out. But I like to watch BBC, I watch Fox, I watch CNN, I watch the French channel, and I watch Al Jazeera coming out of Qatar. And they have a totally different view on things that's happening. It is great to compare what they say, the Muslims, to what we're saying in our news. I love that.
Yeah, yeah. And you can find any one of those news sources anywhere on the internet. So
that's right. Because Al Jazeera is in Arabic, but it's also in English. So mm-hmm. you can, you know, it's not something that you can't find or you can't get the information on. Because like I said, today is a small world.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is.
In World War II, people did not know what was going on and depended only on the press. But today, with the internet and so forth, you're right there on the battleground with what's happening in some things. So,
yeah.
Gives you an opportunity. But I have enjoyed talking to you. I hope I haven't depressed you and that I've given you food for thought. That's my main thing, is to make people sort of sit back and stop and think for themselves.
Yeah, a food for thought is a good way of putting it, and you definitely did. And I'm going to keep on harping on people because you first brought it up about critical thinking, and that is so important, not only to just what we're talking about, but to life in general and information. Because if we get the wrong information and we pass it on, we're just perpetuating misinformation. Right. So
well, it has been my pleasure. I have enjoyed it immensely. And you made it very comfortable and easy for me to talk. I appreciate that. And I have literally enjoyed it. And I hope I haven't frightened you till you're going to lock yourself in a room somewhere.
I'm going to go turn on the news right now.
But thank you. But you know, education can be fun if you take the time to really put things in perspective. I don't believe it needs to be drilled. I hated professors that just sat for an hour and you listened to them read their notes. That used to drive me insane as a student. I think if there's more converse and understanding and going back and forth, and I think that our students really need to learn our Constitution. I mean, even yes. in my terrorism, counterterrorism courses, I've made them study the Constitution. Because there's no way you can say our government's doing the right thing or the wrong thing if you do not know what's in the Constitution. And would you believe most of my students did not know that the President of the United States and the Vice President and all those take an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States? I was like, you have got to be kidding. What planet have you lived on for the last 17, 18 years?
Well, I joke with some of my friends who have not of an American nationalist, but they want to be a U.S. citizen. They know more because then they go out and they take the test and they become a U.S. citizen and they know more than we do. And we were born here and we've been here for our entire lives. And that's embarrassing.
It is, because I give them a quiz before I start the class and a syllabus so that I know on what level I'm teaching to. Hello. And one of my questions is, who was the first president of the United States? Bingo. Most of them have put Abe Lincoln. And I'm
Oh,
like,
boy.
oh, I can't believe that.
Well,
Nobody, you know, that's sad. It's not funny. It's sad.
again, thank you very much, Professor Simmons.